Welcome back, everyone, to the program. We got about 30 minutes to go here. Been a fun hour and a half that we have had so far with you. Going to have another fun 30 minutes as well, as we are joined right now by ESPN's front office insider, Bobby Marks. Bobby, thanks for your time. I know you've been very busy. Do the Mavericks realize, Bobby, that free agency has officially begun?
I hope they did. I mean, I don't even think it started at 6 o'clock yesterday. I think it probably started a little bit before that here. And as I said when I was in TV, I said it's okay to do 50 and a 45 before 6 p.m. on June 30th. You can bend it a little bit here, but I do like the Curry number. I guess 4 for 32. You got Porzingis back. You get your center back. You got $22 million in room. They're kind of in that holding pattern with the two LA teams, but they're not in on that Kawhi Leonard sweepstakes here.
Do you, I guess, even before we get to what's left and what maybe they ought to do with that $22 million, do you think that even with the rule change this year to move up the start of free agency by 6 hours, that they should just get rid of the whole moratorium thing and just, I mean, clearly deals were done prior to the opening of the bell of free agency. Why not just acknowledge it and just let it all go? What's the problem with that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, if you don't have you're going to have to put a date somewhere, right? I mean, if it's, June 26th or June 27th, or, then is it, or teams getting it done on June 20th, there's always going to be the free for all, the team, teams contacting agents and stuff like that. I think the one way that you can look at it is that, and I think the league should probably take a serious look at it, is kind of putting free agency first and then the draft second. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if some of these things that we've seen here would probably go away. But you're right. I mean, there were deals being announced at 6:01. I mean, I don't think you get a good comfort level over 60-second phone call here, right? if you're Kevin Durant and you're announcing at 6 o'clock, whatever, I don't think he was over at those Brooklyn at that practice facility in Brooklyn here. So I get it and stuff, but I do think the one thing that we saw was so much activity is that by them moving up to 6 instead of midnight on the East Coast time. And I mean, there were teams that got a lot of work done. A lot of teams put deadlines on agents to make them basically choose, in 20 minutes to choose. And we saw a lot of guys come off the board, and we're still seeing a bunch come off the board here.
Bobby, were you surprised that we did see as much activity in the opening hours yesterday than we did in the past? Because yesterday it just seemed like it was a free-for-all, and Chuck and I were discussing, it's almost like the Mavericks kind of got a little bit caught off guard by the flurry of activity. Were you surprised yesterday at how busy it was?
No, not really, just because I looked at looking ahead to the summer of 2020, and it's not a great free agent class. Mm-hmm. I thought teams were going to be really aggressive and lock guys up to 2-year contracts. We've seen a bunch of 3-year contracts going into the summer of 2021 here. So, and I said on TV, I said I thought that teams like Dallas, New Orleans, and Indiana had a golden opportunity to get out of the gate quick. And, while Brooklyn, New York, the Clippers and the Lakers were like killing each other over these A-listers here, where they can kind of scoop in and get those, I call them the third and fourth round guys, like in the NFL draft. The names that maybe they don't really appeal, but we're talking about them in November and December, and we're like saying, Joe Harris signed for $16 million. Like, where did he come from? So I think they maybe did miss the boat. I don't want to say miss the boat, but I think they could have done what maybe teams like Sacramento did with teams like, New Orleans did with Redick and Favors. Mm-hmm. There. I think you could have been a little bit more aggressive, because I think the opportunity was there for you.
Bobby Marks, ESPN's front office analyst, joining us here on 103.3 FM ESPN, former assistant general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. Bobby, when you were watching everything go down last night in the Jimmy Butler Miami Mavericks fiasco, number one, what were your thoughts? And number two, listen, you've been involved in a lot of big stuff. Give us a sense of what was going on and how it's possible that there could have been the miscommunication that apparently existed between the Mavericks and Miami.
Well, especially that we've seen it. We saw it happen, you know, 5 or 6 months ago with Memphis, Washington, and Phoenix, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, when you do these three-team trades are very complicated, and you got to get all three teams on the phone to agree on it before it's leaked out or it's in the public here. You can't rely on one person being the messenger. If it's Philadelphia kind of being the communicating to both teams or vice versa here, like, you gotta get on a conference call before you even agree to it. I mean, back in the old days, we used to fax it. We used to fax it back and forth, and it never came out, and everyone kind of signed off on it. But yeah, I mean, like that thing almost went south. I mean, like, you know, especially with, you know, we thought Goran Dragic was in it, we thought Kelly Olynyk was in it. You know, at the end of the day, neither guy was in it, and then they wound up making it into a 14 deal today. But yeah, it is embarrassing because we live in such a public world where everything is out there. Now, if you're Goran Dragic now, like, you know, I'm sure he is probably going to be asked to be moved and knows his name's on the trade block. But yeah, as I said, like, you got to get all three teams or four teams kind of on a call and then, you know, finalize it there before you go to the league with it.
If you were the Mavericks, knowing what you know about $30 million in cap room, knowing Dragic's contract, knowing his relationship with Doncic and the fact that they both share the same agent, would there have been harm in your mind if they had just taken Dragic into the deal as opposed to apparently how they wanted it to be constructed?
I would have taken Dragic. I would have. I mean, I would have put him at point guard, and, you know, you have with, you know, certainly with Luka, you know, so, and you figured out there, I don't know if there was if point guard is what you're looking for, you know, he's on an expiring contract. It wouldn't tie up your flexibility down the road here. You know, I mean, if that's, I'm sure there was probably a conversation with in the front office and with Bill Duffy, who represents both players here, but I like Goran Dragic. I think he would have probably fit in well here. We'll see. I mean, you still have, I think they're at $22 million right now, even mm-hmm. after those guys committed here. So you still have some money to, you know, but the market, you know, the market of players is really kind of dwindling down here. You know, some of these guys will get scooped up by who doesn't get Kawhi Leonard, you know, with both LA teams here. So I think it's just a matter of, you know, do you want to spend it? Do you want to, you know, hold on to it? And maybe there's a trade down the road and you can kind of recoup some assets here.
Bobby, how soon do you think Kawhi will make his decision?
Oh, for the sake of all of us, I hope pretty soon. Oh, my goodness. At least for my marriage. I mean, God almighty, I haven't seen my wife since June 9th. You know, it's like I've been living in a hotel in Bristol. So for the sanity of all of us, I hope soon. But I just have a feeling it's like July 5th, like somewhere there. We're all just waiting around just for Kawhi Leonard based on his personality here.
Well, Kevin Durant announced back in the day whether he was going to Golden State on the 4th of July, if I'm not mistaken. Could Kawhi do that as well? Could he maybe do it on the 3rd, and then we can all enjoy the holiday as well?
I don't see Kawhi Leonard a Players Tribune guy as far as writing an article. Or, I don't know. I just want to see a smoke single come out of somewhere, right? Like if it would a single of either the Clippers or Toronto or Lakers. I mean, hey, I hope he goes back to Toronto. I really do. I hope he does, and I hope they try to repeat here and, you know, they get that group back together. I just don't see it in his DNA with the Lakers. Joining a, you know, a big three there with LeBron and Anthony Davis here. But we'll see. I mean, none of us can read him. So, but we'll see what happens.
Bobby Marks joining us here on 103.3 FM ESPN. Okay, your former team, which at one time was in some pretty tough straits after the trade with the Celtics. Just how shocking is it to you, knowing what you know about that organization, that they've been able to pull off what they've been able to pull off?
Well, you guys know free agency is hard. You know, you're basically at the mercy of the agent. And to be able to get two all-NBA players on a, you know, to come to Brooklyn, you know, it wasn't like Brooklyn lost in the Eastern Conference Finals or lost in the NBA Finals. But I think the foundation there when how Sean Marks, their GM, was with Caris LeVert and Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, some of the draft picks they've done, Really good coach in Kenny Atkinson. And they've got a great sports performance team. I think that sells a lot. And I think getting into the playoffs was important just to kind of be on a national stage here a little bit here. But when you've got, you know, $70 million in cap space and you can entice these guys, I mean, and where they were, you know, in 2015 or 2016 to get these guys, I mean, it is pretty remarkable. I think Brooklyn also had an advantage because, you know, Dr. O'Malley, who was the Nets team's physician, did Kevin's Achilles and did his foot in when he was in OKC. So there's a comfort level there. Kyrie's from, you know, Northern New Jersey. So yeah, I think you've got that there. But yeah, I mean, this was a team that was, 20-62 a couple of years ago to be able to get these two players here, and now really changes the landscape for that organization.
One last question for me, Bobby. Of all the signings that have happened, is there one under the radar signing that you like best? Whether it's the fit with the team, whether it's the dollars, is there one signing that kind of stands out to you?
Yeah, a guy who played for Dallas, Wes Matthews. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, going to Milwaukee for the minimum. I mean, he's made a lot of money in his career, and Milwaukee was, you know, their budget after Brogdon went to Indiana, and after they signed Lopez and Middleton and Robin Lopez, George Hill, they didn't have any money left. And I think there was some exposure at the two guard, really just with Pat Connaughton. And I think with Wes, you know, he took, you know, the ability to try to win a championship over maybe making a little bit more money.
And just from the Western side, to me, uninitiated on these types of matters, it looks like Utah and New Orleans really came out smelling like a rose on this.
They did. I mean, with Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic and certainly Ed Davis, I mean, that's kind of the under the radar. And then, you know, besides everything New Orleans did with the AD trade, you know, you get, J.J. Redick and Derek Favors, you know, and now you've got a really, I mean, your team is set and you get some veterans there. And I think Sacramento did well too, you know, with Harrison Barnes and Trevor Ariza, Corey Joseph, Dwayne Dedman, give some veterans to that young group there.
Were you surprised that Redick went back west? You know, there's been so much talk over the last couple of years of him being in Philadelphia, but, you know, commuting from Brooklyn, his wife loving Brooklyn and all that he decided to go west.
Yeah, I mean, just because he had, you know, he was commuting from Brooklyn to Philly. He'd been there two years with Philadelphia, and now you go to a different look of a New Orleans team, and it's amazing. I mean, J.J. Redick has made $63 million in the last 4 years, and he's like towards the tail end of his career, but he plays at such a high level that the money justifies the production on the court.
Well, Bobby, thank you so much for joining us. I know it's been very busy. I know that honey-do list is going to be very long for you when you do get back home. So
the honey-do list is going to have to wait until I get back from Summer League in Vegas. So I think
we're oh, man. Flowers.
I'll take the month of August off. It's all good.
Flowers, candy, rubber shoulders, everything that you need to do. You owe her big time, Bobby.
Sounds good, guys.
Appreciate it, Bobby.
Appreciate the time, Bobby. Thanks so much.